How's it going, everybody? This is Tyler Dawn here with Bob McGinn for another Packers podcast at JS Online with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Day one of the NFL draft in the books, Bob. On to day two, and there's going to be a day three, so we figured we'd get together and talk about Daytone Jones. Let's jump right into it.
Sure.
First impressions of the pick, Bob.
They wanted to go D-line. They had to go D-line, I think. They're really hurting on the D-line. So you got three guys sitting there. You got Daytone Jones, Sly Williams of North Carolina, and Jonathan Hankins, really, of big nose tackle from Ohio State. And they went with the classic prototypical five technique.
And that's what they need. That's been a problem for Ted Thompson and the Packers for a while now. I mean, since Colin Jenkins left in free agency, they tried to prepare for that with the pick of Mike Neal in 2010. Then they take Jarrell Worthy. They take Mike Daniels. This is another stab at it. Daytone Jones, 6'4", 280, runs a 4.8. And just talking to him earlier this week, it sure sounded like a guy that was going to potentially be with the Green Bay Packers.
Did he? Yeah. I mean, he had a feeling for that, right?
He did. I mean, all these prospects are going to have their stump speech ready, their rhetoric down. I mean, you hear it in their voices a lot, but with Daytone Jones, I mean, it sounded like he really did kind of sit down with the coaches, Capers, Mike Turkovic, and talk about how he would fit into this defense as the five technique, like you said, a 3-4 defensive end, something they need, maybe slide inside in nickel situations next to Raji, next to Nick Perry, and rush from different spots. It's something he did at UCLA, playing different spots. Might have to put on a little bit of weight to do that, but overall, he's a big, athletic guy up front, and anybody that saw Green Bay lose to Minnesota, lose to San Francisco, they just need more players like this.
Mm-hmm. I saw him in the Senior Bowl on the practice tapes. He did some really good things as a rusher. He was rushing at left end, and I thought it was impressive. You were down at the Senior Bowl. You liked what you saw?
Exactly, and I think that Thompson did too. It's funny when you're down there, and just to kind of see how the GMs and the scouts watch these practices. John Dorsey and all the chief scouts, after every practice, they sat way, way up high in the bleachers as a group and talked about that day's practice. And obviously, Eric Fisher dominated at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he was maybe a late to mid-first-round pick by the so-called experts heading into that week. Was great all week. And now he's the first overall pick. So you imagine John Dorsey and the scouts, they're talking about this each day. Yeah. Then you look at Ted Thompson and the Packers. He doesn't do a heck of a lot of talking to other colleagues, to other people around the league. He's watching these practices day in and day out. And Daytone Jones was one of the most impressive guys down there. He had a great senior season, his final year at UCLA, 2 years removed from that foot injury, 19 tackles for loss. Penetrated the backfield a lot. He has a lot of burst off the line, but I think it was the Senior Bowl that kind of helped separate him. The one guy who did give Eric Fisher a little bit of trouble, and I'm sure you saw that on tape as well, he was able to do pretty well in one-on-one situations in those drills.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about wanting that 6'4 or taller 5 technique, I've written a lot about the size of this Packard team and the way it's become in the last 2 years and the physical nature of it. In terms of size, Brad Seeley, I thought it was just a very telling, honest, candid remark. A couple days before the Super Bowl, Brad Seeley is the special teams coach for the Niners. He's got three Super Bowl rings under Belichick. He's been in the league, 25, 30 years, probably around 60. The guy's got the pelts on the wall. I mean, he has done it. And so I was talking to him, and they're playing the NFL sends out average weights for everybody on the opening day roster. And Baltimore ranked, they were the heaviest team in the league last year at 52. And Green Bay, I believe, was 27th at 242. Hmm. Just 2 years after they had been, ranked 10th, I think. And so Seeley had seen the Packers at Lambeau Field on opening day, and he had just seen them 2 weeks earlier in the divisional round at San Francisco. So the quote from Seeley, I'm talking to him, and he said, you look at the Green Bay defense, their guys don't look like our defense, meaning the 49ers, right? Their linemen, it's like, okay, those guys aren't going to match up very good with our offensive line. They don't have the same look. And then later he said, Baltimore does have the same look. they got the big team we got. So this selection of, so when you look at the Green Bay D-line, you got a tremendous interior shock absorber in Ryan Pickett. 6'2", 335,
shock absorber, I like that description.
I mean, he can take on a double team as well as anybody.
And
you
he's doing it at 33, going to be 34 in October, getting up there in age.
Right. You got B.J. Raji, who has, when he's going good, he's got great quickness. I mean, every scout in the world has said that for the last 4 years. There's and entering the draft. But he's 6'1 and a half, 335, 337. Okay. You got Mike Daniels at 6'0, 1/2 inch. You got Jarrell Worthy, 6'2 and a half, really with an ill-defined body. I think every scout would say that. C.J. Wilson has done a lot with his body. But, all right, so the point is, when you look at these guys, and now you look at Dayton Jones, and you've seen him in the flesh, this guy is ripped, right, Tyler? He's 6'4", right. He's 280, he can be 295, according to Ted Thompson. He is ripped. And this is the kind of thing that Green Bay's kind of sick of, having these guys that say if they took all their shirts off, it wouldn't be that impressive. And this is an important factor in football. This is physical nature, this is size, and you can say whatever you want, but size wins in these late weather playoff games. This is what Seeley was referring to. Green Bay has to be very sensitive to this kind of stuff. If Seeley says it, a lot of people are saying it. These things, football people know this stuff. I mean, readers, listeners, they don't know. Football people do know this. Green Bay's sensitive to it, and that's what this Dayton Jones pick was. This guy is ripped, and they're taking a chance. They're gambling on greatness with this guy.
Right. I mean, last year, what was the word? Juice. Everything was about juice. They bring in Anthony Hargrove. They bring in Daniel Muir. They draft Jarrell Worthy, Mike Daniels. These are undersized, more pass-rushing type of threats up front that overall just didn't have that size, didn't have that muscle. Mike Neal did. I mean, yep. You talk about, you know, taking the shirt off.
He's got a good body.
And be having a good body. He does have that. Has just had the problems with injuries.
And in the eyes of the scouts, he's a midget at 6'0", 1/2 inch, playing among the trees, you know?
Right. I mean, Dayton Jones is a barrel-chested, chiseled guy who can bench, 29 reps at 225, ran the 4.8. And when I asked him, you know, what separates you from other defensive ends in this draft? Why are you different? Why can you be that five-technique guy that's so hard to find? I mean, Green Bay isn't the only team that has problems finding a good 3-4 end. It's a tough player to find to project to the NFL. And he said, you know, look at my past. Go back to middle school, to high school. I was a point guard. On the weekends in Compton, he's running the point with James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, two future NBA guys. He's not the chubby kid on the block that was going to be a lineman forever. I mean, he was a point guard in high school. He got up to about 225. He ran track, 100-meter sprinter, 200-meter sprinter. It was really good. It was something their football coach wanted their guys to do. And then when he went to UCLA, I mean, he was lobbying to play a little running back. He actually caught a touchdown at tight end. So this isn't your everyday defensive lineman. This isn't a C.J. Wilson kind of a guy by any means.
Okay. He's got the physique, right? And he's got some speed. Huge factors. Very important factors. But we all know that to play five technique or end in a 3-4, you've got to be a sacrificial lamb. You have to have that mentality. Now, people didn't think Raji would have, or not Raji, but Worthy would really have that after playing, you know, inside in a gap shooting scheme at Michigan State. I'm not so sure he does have it. Now, you talk about this running back stuff and the athleticism and how, you know, he didn't weigh much earlier. I mean, I asked Ted Thompson that last night. Does this guy have the unselfish mentality? He claims he does. He says he's a football guy. So we'll see. Now, let's go to Sly Williams, okay?
All right. Which, by the way, can I puff my chest out a little here, Bob?
Yeah, you got it, man.
Somebody picked Dayton Jones, and then somebody picked Sly. I'm just going to leave it at that. We'll just let it hang.
Is that your first mock?
Well, yeah, last year I had Shea McClellan, and the Bears took him there, so missed out on that. But, hey, blind squirrel, right?
Nice job. All right, let's go to Sly. He's sitting there. Williams goes 28 to Denver, right? So what does Sly give that Dayton doesn't give? Sly can play the nose. He can get to 330 and play the nose. And Pickett's going to be 34 this season, right?
Right.
Raji is not a classic nose man. He's better as that three technique, the reduced end and base, and then inside in a sub stuff. I believe Sly Williams can give you that, and that is not to be overlooked, and I'm sure the Packers debated this for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, the versatility of Sly Williams. Can he be a five technique at 6'2.5"? Some say yes, some say no. You know, the inch and a half might not sound much, but it means a lot to these people in the way the game's played. Does he have pass rush? He ran 5.01. Jones ran 4.80. That's a big, big difference. I saw those Senior Bowl tapes, Tyler, and you saw him down there. I thought he had a spin move one day down there against, I can't remember who. I thought, holy man, this is a big guy can really move. He does have quickness. Mm. He's very raw. You know, he's 1 year high school ball, 2 years at JC. I mean, he's probably got more upside, unknown potential than Dayton Jones. Is he the pass rusher Jones is? On paper, no. He can play. Is he going to stuff the run better than Dayton Jones? Yeah. He can play inside, yeah, or Jones can't in the base. I think it's a brutally tough call.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to make it. And I don't know. How do you see those two players?
Well, you just broke it down well there. I think the Sylvester Williams, that size, he may be more sure run defender, less of a gamble. I mean, Dayton Jones, what the scouts were telling you anyways, is he can disappear for times on film. You know, he could go two quarters without having that big play. And, I mean, that was the concern with Nick Perry and even Jarrell Worthy last year. I remember watching a full game of Nick Perry and didn't see him on the field at all. I mean, he just blended in. And now he's playing a new position, so we'll see how that works out. The one thing I'll say about Dayton Jones is, and this is probably a difference between him and Nick Perry, you know, sometimes in their voice, the fire, the temperament, the attitude that they're going to bring, there's just a difference there in that. And a lot of it can be bluster and white noise and all that, but I think Dayton Jones is pretty genuine and sincere in his desire. What he said last night, he wants to be the greatest football player of all time. He compares himself to J.J. Watt, to Reggie White. He doesn't hide from this stuff, and I think he does have that motor. I don't think the motor and desire and effort is an issue with Dayton Jones as it was with Jarrell Worthy a year ago and even Perry to an extent.
Yeah, okay. What else can we talk about?
Well, let's have a clip from Dayton Jones here. Yeah. This is from our conversation Monday night, I believe it was, when I talked to him, and he talked about how he would fit into Green Bay, why he thought it was a good fit. And then, I asked him, what do you have to work on? And what's a part of your game that you have to improve? And he also talked about putting on that weight. He said he put on 3 pounds after eating breakfast at the Senior Bowl. I don't know. Hopefully you guys could hear that okay. Well, anyways, just the whole weight thing he touched on there, Bob. 280, what do you think his playing weight would have to be the force Green Bay needs him to be against San Francisco, against Minnesota, these teams that want to punch you in the mouth?
296.
296. Well, he said he had to eat a lot of PBJ sandwiches in high school to get up to 225, so I guess that would be a few more PBJs.
I mean, do you think he can carry 300, 295, and still retain his quickness and burst?
Well, that's the question, and I don't know if you could hear it on there, folks, but he thinks he can. He says his weight has fluctuated for a while, but that would be more mass than he's ever held. To have that much weight, to be up to 296, 300. I guess that would be a question. He's been athletic his whole life. Doesn't play as much basketball as he used to, but he has that background. And Dom Capers talked about that himself at the podium yesterday. They like that about this guy. But if he does have to put on a little bit of weight, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. Also, you talked about it a little bit earlier, Bob, but the defensive line, the whole quote-unquote soft debate, I think that'd be worth diving into a little bit. You know, I think there's like this thought out there, some criticism out there that the word soft can kind of mean a lot of different things. But, you know, when I read your columns on that, and you've had a few of them about this element on the defense, isn't it just as much about size? I mean, these guys aren't necessarily, you know, a bunch of frail, soft players out there that they can't handle the NFL game. That's not what you're saying. I mean, the people out there that say, "Oh, they're and no football players are soft." Well, it's no, you know, no crap. It's a size thing, and that's what the Packers lack.
It's the way you build your team, you know. And Green Bay has gone along with the rule changes, and you know, it helped them win a Super Bowl. Although I still argue that the reason they won that Super Bowl down the stretch was and overcame those injuries. Was they went in there and played four extremely tough football teams and won all four of them by matching fire with fire.
People forget they ran the ball really well
down the stretch run. Down the stretch.
I mean, James Starks had over 100 against Philadelphia. The Super Bowl, you know, Steelers had arguably the best run defense. They had just enough running game in that game as well. So, you're right. They were tough when they had to be. When it mattered most.
So just in the last couple of years, I mean, they've drafted exceptions. I've talked about this. They drafted a 5'10 and a half inside backer. They drafted a 6'0 one half inch DT. I can't remember. There's other examples. Jeff Saturday, they signed him, and he's, you know, undersized guy who was old, you know, no physicality at all. It's what happens on third and one on offense. You know, do you have a big tight end that can root out a DE or cut off the backside? Well, they haven't had that. It's height at defensive line. We've been all through that. It's having somebody who can tackle at cornerback. It's having an enforcer at safety. It's having people that can set the edge in dominant fashion at outside backer. It's having guards who can hit and move, and I think Green Bay has that. It's having a fullback who you want on your roster who will go in and ISO on somebody and blow them up.
So you're not saying they're out there in skirts? That wasn't your point then?
No. So thanks for bringing it up. But, you know, that's right. It's being able to stop the run, and this team has not stopped the run since 2009. They've had a lot of problems stopping the run, and they need to get better at that. So it's, you know, Mike McCarthy, when I spoke him at the Combine, he suggested that this team, in terms of physicality, is in the middle of the league. I would think it's a little bit worse than that, but, you know, it's a matter of semantics. It's an argument that's impossible to decide. But, you know, they've made a bunch of moves here now in the offseason that I know they're trying to get tougher and they're trying to get bigger. They signed Matt Mulligan, the tight end, who's 260, and he's not a very good athlete, but he can get in there and base block you and take out some people. They brought back Johnny Jolly, who's too big right now, but at least he's got size, and that's what they're trying to get at five technique. They just cut DJ Smith, and it's Tom Silverstein wrote in an outstanding story 2 days ago. They needed the space to sign a lot of college free agents. And they also don't want injured guys injured. The injury factor is a huge crusade in this organization right now. They don't want injured guys standing around for the next 6 months. They just don't want that. And a 5'10 and a half inside backer, can you win with that? Probably not. You really can't, Tyler.
But what's the downside in keeping DJ Smith around? He doesn't cost a lot of money. They've kept a lot of these injured guys around in the past. I mean, Frank Zombo was around for 2-3 years and never really gave him a heck of a lot after that short to run me, as a rookie. What's the downside in keeping DJ Smith around when he started 9 games? He wasn't bad. I mean, he had his moments. You think of the pressure at New York that he forced the pick six, an interception against Oakland. Last year he wasn't great when Bishop went down, but he started. He handled the mental part of that job pretty well. I know it's a crowded position. They re-signed Brad Jones and all that. I just don't see the downside in keeping DJ Smith around, even if he missed all of next season.
You're trying to get bigger. You know size is crucial, and you don't have size. You ranked 27th last year, and you got butchered by big teams. by the Giants, by the Niners, and you had problems with the Vikings. You're not going to get better with DJ Smith on the field. You have to force yourself sometimes to get better by eradicating these exceptions. And he's an exception at 5'10 and a half. Nobody wants that. I mean, Sam Mills comes along once every 30 years.
True.
And you just, yes, he has. I like him as a pass rusher. On those on the cross stunts, I like the guy. Cross blitzes, he's a pretty good pass rusher. He's got a lot of instincts and he's really smart. But they don't want that. They don't want an injured guy, and they don't want 5'10 and a half, that exception. And that's why they made that move.
So they're
I like it.
Aren't they basically admitting that they, I mean, he's a sixth-round pick, so it's not exactly a huge investment, but aren't they kind of admitting a mistake in theory and philosophy in the way that they drafted some of these players that maybe, hey, maybe we should draft too many small guys?
Absolutely, Tyler, but you better admit it now than and when you got him on the field trying to prove a point. Right. Tom Crabtree, we all love Tom Crabtree, and he's got a lot of value, but he's just like all the rest of their tight ends, sleek, physical guy, a non-physical, I mean, he's okay blocker. He's a pretty good blocker. But they need to have either Corliss, who's a strong base blocker, or this Mulligan if he makes the team. I think you've got to have in this climate, this environment, late in the year, to beat the Niners, to beat Baltimore, the Giants, you've got to have somebody who can knock somebody off the ball in short yardage. And Crabtree really can't do that. He can angle block and do stuff like that, mm-hmm. but he can't go rip somebody out of there who knows it's coming.
You know, I guess it kind of depends when people are listening to this podcast, but there's still a lot of draft here left. Is this a theme we're going to see the second through seventh rounds?
I think it's huge. They have to get bigger. They have to get tougher, period. They've had really good team speed. The game is certainly speed is crucial, but they know where the speed's gotten them, and it hasn't gotten them to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. They've won a ton of games.
Right.
They have short tackles. I mean, we can go on and on. I think they've got to get a tackle, and they need interior help at guard too, and they need size at those positions. You know, Dietrich Smith is a small guy to begin with, and apparently they've hitched their wagon to him as a starter. They need big backups.
While we're talking about this, though, really the overriding theme, the cloud kind of hanging over the salary cap here, and Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers, and these two contracts are going to eat up a lot of cap. I know that they can move money around. I mean, you look at Matthews' deal, it is a little cap-friendly in the short term. Maybe the new television contracts kind of hikes up the cap a little bit, but they're not going to sign free agents anyways. They're really not going to go out and make any big splashy signings outside of the building over these next couple years. They're going to have guys up for deals, James Jones, Morgan Burnett at some point. Jermichael Finley, B.J. Raji are obviously next in line. Just puts a lot of pressure on the Packers to nail these draft picks, doesn't it?
Yeah, although you're right about that. Yep. Yeah, they're not going to have the cash to be doing things, but I don't know that they really want to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worked out exactly as they want. You know, you draft Aaron Rodgers at, what, 24? You get Clay Matthews at 26, and they become all pro players.
And you're not going to let those guys get away. I think they did the right thing here. You have a star at quarterback. You have a star at outside linebacker. We've seen this defense without Clay Matthews. It's not the same. Numbers across the board are down. He's the one playmaker, the one guy that offensive coordinators have to plan, have to prepare around. You can't let him go. I don't think that's the debate here. It's just the reality of the situation that in the draft, you better be hitting on the Derek Sherrods, the Nick Perrys, and the Dayton Joneses.
Yep. I agree. You've got to get a good 4 years out of all those players, mm-hmm. and then if they're good enough, they get the second contract. Matthews and Rodgers are going to, deservedly so, they are going to tie up a good percentage of that salary cap. Green Bay's going to be limited in other areas and backup positions. That's the way it goes. It's the price of doing business, and they're going to have to adjust.
So some big picks today, mm-hmm. Friday, second round, third round. Give me a name, a couple names of guys that you think Green Bay might be looking at and players that could fit in to this team that we've been talking about.
Well, I don't know. Would they trade up for Menelik Watson, the offensive tackle from Florida State? They could. If he drops down, you know, within 5-10 spots of them, they could definitely go after Menelik Watson. I mean, the guy can be a starting lineman. I'm not saying this year, but he's my fifth tackle, and he's still out there. I mean, I think he's going to go quick. But now you talked about a guy today.
While we're on Menelik Watson, too, I'm just going to pull up some comments talking to his offensive line coach, Rick Trickett, there at Florida State. And he
has a great reputation in the business. Trickett does.
He's been around a long time.
NFL people, they all love him. Think he's a great coach, yep. I mean, amazed he never went to the NFL.
Well, he coached 4 future first-round picks at Auburn.
Wow.
Right, and he's been in the college game for a while, so he knows what he's talking about. And he was great. You know, he actually went out to Saddleback Junior College in California to scout Howie Long's son, Kyle Long, who went to Chicago. So he's out there. He didn't even know about Menelik Watson, didn't know who he was, what he was about. He was a guy that came over from Great Britain to play basketball at Marist College and then went to Saddleback to give football a shot. So he's sitting there, and the coach at Saddleback says, hey, don't leave quite yet. This was when Trickett was about to leave. I got one more guy I got to show you. He walks into the room and, using a few swear words, basically said, you know, holy shit, you know, who is this guy? Huge, tall, 6'5", 320, has the athleticism. And he basically said that this guy is unlike any player he ever coached. And remember, he coached Andrew Dacko, Packers 7th round pick, asked him to compare those two. And he was pretty blunt. And he just said, well, look, I mean, Andrew Dacko could be decent. He's a good guy and all, but he can't do what Menelik Watson can do. That being said, Bob, he probably should have stayed in school. I mean, the guy is as green as grass. I mean, if he comes out next year, maybe he's the first overall pick. Needs a little bit more development. But that raw ability, that athleticism he has, it's going to appeal to somebody. What are the scouts telling you about this guy?
Well, he's old, though, Tyler, you know. I mean, he's an old guy who came from England, played rugby, I think it was, or basketball in Spain, too, yeah. The guy played right tackle at Florida State. He was there for 6 months. I thought the description was from Trickett was outstanding in that stuff you had, that Q&A. He's got long arms, big hands, physical to an extent. Some people think he's slow on assignments, not there mentally. I think he's going to go in the first 10 picks of the second round, though,
right
out of Green Bay's reach.
How about Terron Armstead? Set the combine record in the 40-yard dash. Arkansas Pine Bluff didn't really play the competition of other guys. But, you know, his coach in college had some rave reviews as well. And his coach in college played next to Willie Rofe at New Orleans. And he said, look, I played next to Willie Rofe, and this guy's going to make it. He goes, I'm not going to say he's going to be Willie Rofe, but he's going to be in the league a long time. You never know with these small school guys. Terron Armstead, he could be a possibility for Green Bay in the second round if they're looking for a tackle.
I mean, he blew out the combine. He ran 4.71. I mean, 4.71, Dayton Jones ran 4.80. I mean, the guy, 34 and a half vertical, was number one among linemen, 31 on the bench. He's got long arms, Wunderlich at 27. I mean, he's got it all.
Yeah.
Arkansas Pine Bluff. Some people just wouldn't touch this guy. They have no interest in him before the fourth round.
And the one scout did say that to you, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. More than one, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just don't see it. I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by the guy. So I would think late two, where Green Bay is going to be, I would think that's a candidate.
Right.
I read your story today, and I thought it was right on line.
There's not a lot of second, third round tackles that you might be looking at there that could help you out right away. I mean, there was a run on tackles in the first round, so it'll be interesting to see who slips.
Right. You know, if they don't get one of those two guys, then I think Green Bay would be looking at a tackle in the third, late third or fourth. There's a bit of a gap, but then there's a bunch of guys in that third, fourth round range, more than usual.
So what do you make of the running back situation? I mean, they let Brandon Sane go. Not a big surprise there, because they have Alex Green coming back, DeJuan Harris coming back, James Starks coming back. Cedric Benson, in on the visit Wednesday, tweeted that it went really well. Anybody that watched the video he posted on Twitter of him working out, the University of Texas, looks like he recovered pretty well from the Liz Frank injury. So you could probably bring him back on the cheap, you would think. I can't see a team paying more for Benson than they did last year when he waited until mid-August. So they could have all four of those guys and draft somebody. Pretty deep draft for the position. And they're all still on the board.
Remember their crusade, Tyler. Injuries.
Right.
It can't be overstated. Do you want a guy with a questionable foot running around out there taking playing time and he's got no future beyond one more year, and he's 30 or whatever he is. That brings us to Eddie Lacy, who's still on the board, right? Lacy didn't have many carries in 3 years. He's all banged up. Every scout in the world is extremely worried about this player. He plays with this kamikaze daredevil style. He's not going to last. I mean, these running backs don't last anyway. And the hits are a lot harder in this league. And he's just not going to last. That's why he's got the ability and the punishing style to survive. Some people really question the kind of kid he is. I mean, they do, some scouts. But I just see him getting hurt. I don't think Green Bay would touch this injured player.
So that could be an area where they're not going to see him anyways, unless they wanted to trade up. And I can't see Ted Thompson parting with picks. So I think you can pretty much cross Eddie Lacy off the board.
He should go in the first 15, right? He should.
I mean, and it is, you know, he had the hamstring injury that held him out of the combine, out of the pro day. Then he had his workout, and it was pretty bad. He couldn't get through it. At one point, he left the facility puffing and puffing, catching his breath. Talking to him, he blamed it on the lack of preparation. He said he was only 100% or close to 100% for 2 weeks. Maybe it's just an excuse. Maybe it's legitimate.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, a job interview, a big opportunity for him to impress some scouts. Didn't quite do that. I don't know, Bob. I mean, on the film, the guy, I know he's running behind a great offensive line, but I agree with Eddie Lacy when he says that he's about as complete as it gets in this draft. If he's healthy, if he's himself, he's the best running back in the draft.
He's the best running back, the best of a bad lot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to miss practice time at Alabama a lot, practicing one day a week down there, sitting over on a stationary bike. I mean, do you want that all through training camp?
I still remember as an intern out here seeing Deshaun Wynn on the bike on the sideline, right?
They don't want that in Green Bay, Wisconsin this summer. They don't want it.
All right, so let's talk high character. Let's talk durable, a running back that they would be looking at. You know, Jonathan Franklin, this guy's a jack of all trades, high character, wants to be the mayor of Los Angeles when he's done playing. He's the kind of guy you want to bring into a locker room. You know what? One of UCLA's best running backs ever, most productive running backs ever. Doesn't have the size that they'd probably like at the position, but he could be a possibility in the second round.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, he could be. Let's go to the big Spartan, Le'Veon Bell. He's your big, he's your bell cow.
But does he, look at that. That's what you call a play on words there. But I don't know. Like, you watch him run. He's big. He has size. But I think he runs small. I don't know if he runs to his size necessarily. You look at him, and this is everything you want in a number one, bell cow running back. But if I had a choice between Bell or Franklin, I would take.
That's the knock on Bell, that he doesn't always run hard. But another scout for a team who really needs a back, he watched and he watched and he watched, and finally he came to like the guy, and he just said, for a big guy, he does things that you can't coach. Hmm. He has run vision, subtle cuts. And I like that for a guy 229.
So at first he wasn't that high on him, and then he watched. But isn't that kind of like, you know, when you like a girl, Bob, and, you know, you're trying to find ways to – you talk yourself into dating that girl. This works out. I don't know. I'm a first impression guy. What stands out to you immediately when you look at this player?
Size. The subtlety. I kind of like Le'Veon Bell, old Sparty.
So is he replacing Philip Merlin on the fan club?
I'm not saying that. Let's go to Christian Michael, Texas A&M.
Okay. Character issues, correct?
He's got as much talent as Lacy. Now, this guy is supremely talented. Running that 4.47 with a 43 vert, 10.5 broad jump, both running back category leaders. This guy, he can be hell on wheels, but he's a bad boy.
All right, do tell. What's he doing down there at Texas A&M? Rip roaring?
Suspended. Ooh. And all kinds of stuff, you know. Didn't like him down there. People didn't like him. Broken leg last year. I mean, so, you know, he's got an injury. I don't think he's coming here. Okay. He's got an injury, but, you know. How about Stephan Taylor of Stanford? Gained a ton of yards. School record.
Highly productive. Great at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Was durable, but he's a little short.
True, 5'9". Great pass blocker and the 4-7-1.
Right. Not if you're short and you run a 4-7-1, that's Terran Armstead or in that. I mean, with while we're talking about the different body types of running backs, interesting to note, during free agency, an agent for a smaller back on the market told me that when he talked to the Packers, they basically said, "We're not interested because we already have a short guy in DeJuan Harris." I can't see them taking a running back that's 5'9 or shorter.
So we can scratch Giovanni Bernard and Ellington.
And Bernard could be the best back in the class. You talk about a game breaker, versatile guy. Yeah. He did it all there off of a torn ACL when he first got to North Carolina. All right, what position are you talking about here now?
Big boys on D.
Okay.
They got Sly.
They got one, so they're going to get another?
They got a five tech.
Right.
They still need help inside unless you bank it on Jordan Miller to be the backup nose.
I think they bring back your guy Merlin.
What do we know about Jordan Miller? He's on that roster.
I don't know that much about him. Didn't see him that much last year in practice. So, you know, we didn't see him in camp. He wasn't around at camp, I don't believe.
No.
So
November or something.
Right, it was late in the season. He's around for a reason, so they like him. But, you know, they've been taking a look at a lot of these bigger guys. One prospect that I talked to, he's pretty low on your list here, but Kwame Gethers, 335 at Georgia. Was more of a role player, didn't even play until there was an injury and Jenkins moved his position outside to end and he came in as a nose. Huge guy, massive guy, has a lot of potential ability, but probably came out too soon. All the Gethers, obviously his brother plays for Cincinnati, you know, and his dad, his uncle, they all played. All of them came out of college a year early, which is kind of interesting. He would have benefited from another year. So I don't know how much I really like him, but he's one guy with size they've looked at.
I'm going to throw a nose out for the sixth round. Dwayne Sherrington. Sherrington of Mississippi State. 6'1.5", 345. He ran a 5.63. But the guy can stay at home and plug a gap. He's a wide body and he's not that bad. And 3-4 people like him. Mr. Sherrington. Now the guy you talked about, you wrote about on the blog 2 days ago. Brandon Williams from Missouri Southern, is it?
Missouri Southern State.
All right, how about Brandon? You got to like his body.
You do. You got to like his body, and he bench pressed 225 38 times, tied for best at the combine. Here's a guy who didn't have the grades in high school. Academically, just wasn't there, got himself into a hole, so he had to make that choice. Does he go JUCO? Does he go D2? He chose D2 and was a three-time All-American. He did everything you'd want from a guy there. 27 sacks, wreaked a lot of havoc at Missouri Southern State. I don't know. He started the Senior Bowl week poorly. His first couple practices, he looked like he didn't even belong there, and that's the concern with a smaller school guy. But he had a son back in September. He really points to that as his motivation, as the person that drives him. Talked to his son on the phone, talked to his future wife, and really turned it around. He finished strong at the Senior Bowl, looked good. A lot like Armstead, smaller school guy. It's a risk, but he's huge, takes up a ton of space. And he can move pretty well, so maybe he's an option.
Let's go to safety, Tyler. Three were taken. It went Vaccaro, Reed, and Elam. The next man on the board is Jonathan Cyprian. I would think the Packers would really love to have Jonathan Cyprian. Can he get down that far? I doubt it.
Right.
Would they trade to get him? Maybe. I like this guy a lot. Loved him. Loved his interview at the Combine in the media room when he was in there with us. Florida International. He's got everything but a 40 time. His range, 4.64. He's got size. He's a hitter. He's a smart kid. Huge hands. I mean, I like Cyprian a lot.
Do you? That was a big possibility for them in the first round. So maybe they'd eye him in the second.
Let's look down the list. Wilcox, you talked about in the paper today.
Right.
What do you think?
Talked to him on the eve of the draft, and he interesting prospect. I mean, he came to Georgia Southern as a receiver, a slot receiver, moved to running back. Pretty productive at both positions. A great returner. Moved to safety that, you know, kind of needed somebody to play safety there, and he was the most athletic guy on the team, so they moved him there. Had a good year. He was around the ball a lot. Big hitter. He said that against Elon. He was actually really hoping to get a shot on their receiver that's in the draft, Aaron.
Oh, Millett.
Millett, yeah. Right. I mean, he kind of has that temperament. He headhunts. So you like that. There's a risk factor, though. I mean, a small school, only 1 year at the position. Is he ready for the NFL? I mean, Green Bay already has a small school guy at safety that has some upside in Jerome McMillan. I mean, how different is McMillan and Wilcox? I don't know, but he's going to be a possibility for him.
All right, let's look at the board. Cyprian, I think, is next. Wilcox is going to be somewhere in the third. All right, we got Philip Thomas of Fresno. He led the nation in picks. I mean, he's really a ball hawk. He runs 4.62. That's the problem. TJ McDonald from USC. Huge body. Doesn't really do that much. He's got pedigree. 40-inch vert. Bakari Rambo, kind of a shaky character guy. But Bakari Rambo, people really think he can run a secondary. Hitting is inconsistent. Swearinger, if you want a tough, really tough box guy from South Carolina, Swearinger would fit in that third, fourth round range. Sean Williams from Georgia, he ran 4.48. He tested great. Again, more of a box type. Who can cover? Earl Wolf, North Carolina State. I don't know. It's not a bad group in here in the fourth and fifth, and I think Green Bay is going
to
take one.
And Shamarco Thomas is pretty low on your list compared to some other ones out there. Mm-hmm. Is it because of the 5'9", ton of concussions at Syracuse? I mean, he was great at the combine, even though he wiped out on his 40, the bench, the vertical, everything was there. But, I remember he was a freshman on the Syracuse team when I covered them. And friendly guy, outgoing guy, overcame a lot of hardship in his childhood, all of that. But I kind of agree with you. I don't think he's really an option for Green Bay. I don't think anybody under 5'10 or under 5'11 as safety can be an option. If you're 5'11 or shorter, and if you're the quote-unquote box type, like you said, probably not a fit.
Duke Williams can really run. He's got some character flaws, but he's a tremendous athlete. Duke Williams could really fit in that third round, I think, or four. He's not bad. He really isn't. Zeke Mata from Notre Dame. I mean, I loved him until he ran the 40. 4.78. I mean, he ran it like three or four times. Can't take him till late. It's not a bad group. It really isn't. A 6'4.5 guy from Richmond, Cooper Taylor. Mm-hmm. You know, he can run. He's interesting.
And just in general with the draft, I think Green Bay did the right thing in taking a defensive lineman and hopping on to that first wave, that position, because the second wave of defensive linemen that they would have been looking at in the second, third round, there's a drop-off there compared to running back, compared to safety, where if you want to wait at those positions, you can get a better guy in that second wave than you could on the defensive line. So just that kind of philosophy that they took into this draft that it appears they've done, probably a smart idea.
So 5:30 tonight?
5:30 tonight.
Central time.
We'll have more on JS Online. But before we sign off, let's get to a few Twitter questions here real quick.
Sure.
Some of which we probably hit on without taking a look. All right, going back here. Okay, this one from Dave DeVries. He asks, any chance the Packers go after Zach Ertz if available in the second round? We can talk about Ertz. We can talk about the tight ends. I don't think Ertz fits in to everything you're talking about. If they want to get bigger, tougher, you know, complete players, he's more of a pass-catching tight end. I don't know how much of a blocker he is.
They'd take him if they really had worries about if this would be Finley's last year. Because he's a starter and he'd replace Finley. That's what he does.
Right.
I don't see him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to be doing it in the second, and I don't see it.
We talked about this earlier, but this one from @funindesun23, is Jones the better player for the Packers than Sly Williams, in your opinion? We kind of broke that comparison down.
Yeah, I don't know.
I say he is. You picked Sly Williams in your mock draft?
Yeah, I don't really.
I don't know.
I mean, I set it out. I'm not sure.
Okay. This one from Jeff Nelson, our buddy at JeffNC1, asks, who do you see as the Packers starting front three on D opening day against San Francisco?
Pickett at left end. Raji is the nominal nose. And either C.J. Wilson or Dayton Jones at right end, you know. And then on sub, I would say Mike Neal and Dayton Jones and Raji, the three of them splitting time. How about you? You good with that?
Okay. I'd agree with that.
All right.
This one from Adam Huddle at HuddleA12. Do you see some Mike Neal in Dayton Jones? He had the foot injury in 2010. Missed that season, came back, pretty solid season in 2011, but really broke out in 2012. So I don't know if there's really that injury concern. You know, when I asked him about that, he said he's 100%. He's not worried about the foot, but, you know, injuries aren't the forefront for Green Bay this draft.
They did take a bit of a risk on Jones with the foot. There's no question about it. It kind of surprised me, and that's another reason I went with Sly Williams over on the mock, you know. I knew they were close. They got physical specimens, which is another common bond for those two players. Jones is an inch taller than Neil. Okay.
It's been real, Bob. Been a good time.
Yeah, Tyler. All right. So we got two more days of this stuff, huh?
Absolutely. Time to get back after it.
All right. Good podcast, Tyler.
All righty, guys. Thanks a lot for listening.